South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, says the country's facing a fourth wave of COVID-19 within weeks. It comes as the new Omicron variant is driving a rise in infections in the most populated province of Gauteng. President Ramaphosa told a media conference earlier this morning the government was considering making vaccination mandatory in certain locations, but economic lockdown restrictions weren't on the table for the time being. He also slammed rich Western countries for their knee-jerk imposition of travel bans after hearing about the new variant. Let's get more on this now. Mosa Moshabela is a professor of public health at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban. Can I just ask you first, can you give us an idea at the moment of how quickly the infection numbers are rising?
Yeah, we have seen a rapid rise in cases last week. Prior to that, our cases were low, with a positivity rate constantly below 3%. But as of last week, Wednesday, we saw a positivity rate increasing from 3.5% to 6.5%, on Thursday to 9.1%. On Friday, and over the weekend, it stayed around 9.2, 9.8. So it's creeping over into 10%, and once it hits 10%, essentially, it's really pushing us into an active fourth wave. The numbers are not that high as yet for what we have seen before, but they are quite high for the province that is largely affected, which is the epicenter of Gauteng. The total cases currently, they are less than 3,000 per day, but most of those cases are from Gauteng, 2,300 today. Yesterday it was 2,600. Before that it was 2,200 in the same province that is affected. So I think, Tom, the good thing is that ever since Wednesday, we saw a rapid rise and a slight peak, but I think that there might be other factors that is driving that.
And Professor, obviously there's a lot we don't know at the moment, and the actual risks of Omicron are not yet fully understood. We only started hearing about this at the end of last week. What do we know about the strain at the moment?
Yeah, that's really the work that is going on currently. We know that it's got a lot of mutations, more than we've seen before. We know that some mutations, we have seen them previously in the Delta, the Alpha and the Beta, and these mutations suggest that there could be increased transmissibility of the variant, or the variant can have the ability to evade vaccines. We don't know what the combination of all those mutations will affect the behavior of the virus. We think that it might be both transmissible and at the same time able to evade vaccines. We don't know that yet. We also don't know the severity of disease. So far, we've seen it mostly in people who are vaccinated, who tested because they needed PCR results for travel. And in those people, we seem to have seen more mild disease. So we don't really know. We need a little bit more time, maybe another week or two, to assess the natural cause of disease.
Are the hospitals coping at the moment?
Currently, there's no pressure on the hospitals. We have a capacity. At the peak of the third wave, we were seeing about 20,000 cases a day. And I would say that at that time, we were sort of at the brink of our healthcare system. But for now, the numbers that we have of 2,000, 3,000 in Gauteng, it's not causing pressure on the hospitals yet.
Okay. Professor, I also want to ask, because we're now nearly 2 years into the pandemic. I mean, it's my understanding, I mean, South Africa's vaccination rate is quite low. Why is that, do you think?
Yeah, so I think that in general, we have gone past the phase where most of the optimistic people and the ones who are excited about it, the most enthusiastic, have been vaccinated. So the early majority and the early adopters have been vaccinated. But we did suffer a major sort of misinformation and disinformation campaign that was quite fierce, fueled a lot really by sort of global myths around vaccines. And also, I think some of the problems in terms of vaccines being delayed also kind of filled in the, you know, and drove those misinformation and disinformation campaigns and made things worse. So ever since we have had enough supply of vaccines, I would say about two months now, it's been a struggle to actually push it up. We've not been very good at mobilizing people to take up vaccines, which is why we now have to consider other ways of dealing with this.
Looking at the situation abroad, in the last week, I'll note that Austria announced it was making getting inoculated mandatory from next February. As a public health expert yourself, would you support a similar move to that?
Yeah, so that's my number one recommendation at the moment. I think mandatory vaccination is important to drive up the late majority and the late adopters. Especially if we can get our vaccination coverage from about 25% full vaccination now to, say, 75%. After that, I think that we can actually begin to relax some of the mandates. As far as I'm concerned, mandates don't need to be permanent, but they are important in driving up vaccination uptake so that we can overcome some of these barriers. But I have recommended that we need an active unit that's dealing with misinformation and disinformation so that we can actually reduce the kind of messages that are harmful that are going out in the country.
And Professor, just looking at solutions here, listening to President Ramaphosa's address a couple of hours ago, he said he was deeply disappointed by the decision of several countries to prohibit travel from a number of Southern African countries. He called it unjustified and unfairly discriminative. But in your view, how effective is a measure like that when it comes to stopping a variant like Omicron from spreading further and faster?
I think it depends on why it's being done. I think it's a problem when it's being done out of a knee-jerk reaction, out of fear, and also singling out specific countries when the variant is already spread across the world and it could be introduced in other countries. And then when it's identified in other countries, those countries are not necessarily getting red listed. It's a problem that way when it looks like it's targeted. I think in general it can be a useful temporary measure to put systems in place. If you were to say, look, we're going to hold travel for about a week so that we put measures in place and begin to prepare and organize ourselves, but then we are going to strengthen our border surveillance, we're going to introduce quarantine, we're going to introduce rapid testing at the airport and so forth. Those kind of things can be put in place. So if you were to say that you will halt travel for a period to be able to put those systems in place, it's okay. But to actually do it in the way that's being done, to target specific countries, specific areas, when actually, you know, this is now something that we are living with across the world, and also after scientists in those countries have actually identified and warned the world, it does seem like a disincentive. So I think the rebuke is coming from that perspective, not necessarily from the intervention in general. There are more scientific ways of doing surveillance at the border and controlling spread. Hong Kong showed that example in terms of how they did it, to pick up the cases and control and quarantine people. I think most countries can also be able to do that.
That's Mosa Moshabela there, a professor of public health at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban.